Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, reading from chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Amen. It is a great blessing to us that in the New Testament we have four Gospels, not just one. We have four different perspectives on the story of Jesus, each speaking to us in a different voice, but at the same time giving us the same underlying message. There is a significant difference in styles between the Gospels. That's particularly the case when you compare the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark. But despite the difference in presentation, both Gospels present the same truth. For example, in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes one of his most important statements. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." If you turn to the Gospel of Mark, you will not find this saying. But that doesn't mean the truth of this saying is missing. Mark just presents it in a different form. He presents it by telling a story. The story is the one we know as the feeding of the 5,000. It's a story that's told in all four Gospels, which highlights just how important it is. According to the way Mark tells the story, Jesus has taken a boat across the Sea of Galilee. He's looking for a quiet place where he can rest with his disciples. But as he steps ashore, he's met by a large crowd that has raced ahead of him to that remote place. When Jesus sees all these people, Mark tells us, he has compassion on them. He sees they are like sheep without a shepherd. So he shepherds them. He begins teaching them many things. As this is going on, the disciples start to become uneasy about being in the middle of this large crowd in such a remote place. They realize that it won't be long before all these people start to get quite restless. They will need to have something to eat. The disciples are suddenly very aware that they are surrounded by 5,000 hungry people. Fred Craddock describes taking part in a conference some years ago at Clemson University in South Carolina. On the evening when he was scheduled to give his lecture, the program began with a devotional. The person giving the devotion was a young woman that Craddock hadn't met and he didn't know. When this young woman came to the front to give her devotional, Craddock could see that she was carrying a yellow legal pad. He thought, well, we are here for the night. As a professor of preaching, Craddock was well aware that everybody has one sermon in them. When the woman began, she spoke in a soft, low voice. Craddock couldn't make out what she was saying, but he was sure she was speaking in another language. But then she switched to a different language, and then another. She kept going from one language to another. Craddock lost count of how many different languages she was speaking in. But he began to realize she was saying the same thing in all the major languages of the world. Craddock says, when she got to German, I thought I knew what she said. When she got to French, I was even more confident that I knew what she said. I suppose she said this one thing 60 or 70 times in 60 or 70 languages. It was one sentence, and the last time she spoke it in English. She said, "Mommy, I'm hungry." Deborah Shue is an Episcopal minister from Atlanta. She has thought quite deeply about this issue of hunger. She notes that hunger is the experience that every single one of us knows about. She says, from the moment we are born, we are faced with it. We all feel it. We all know it. It is incessant. It propels us to the things that give us life, to the things that quite literally we can't live without. We all spend time and effort and energy of every kind making it go away, on filling ourselves with something, on staving off our hunger and keeping it at bay. The disciples were very aware of the hunger felt by the people in that crowd of 5,000. That's probably because they were feeling hungry themselves. They too needed to find something to eat. But when they thought about the hunger of the crowd, they didn't feel like there was much they could do about it. In fact, they didn't want to deal with it at all. They said to Jesus, "Send these people away. Tell them to go to the next town or into the countryside to find something to eat. Tell them that they need to take responsibility for finding their own food. Tell them to get out of here." But Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." In other words, you do something about it. Don't just chase them away. Don't just ignore their hunger. Don't just turn away from them in their need. Show some compassion. Do something that will actually help them. The disciples are stunned. How exactly are the 12 of them going to feed 5,000 people? Where exactly are they going to get that kind of food? And even if they were able to find someone who could quickly supply 5,000 meals ready to eat, where would they ever get the money to pay for it. Jesus does what the disciples are unable to do. He asks for a quick inventory of all the food they have at their disposal. It comes to a grand total of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And yet, it turns out that these 5 loaves and 2 fish are more than enough. Jesus uses this meager assortment of food to feed 5,000 people. And when all are filled, there is still food left over. There are a lot of things going on in this story. There are several strands of truth for us to take hold of. We tend to get hung up on asking, how did Jesus do that? But we're not going to get an answer to that. From the Bible's point of view, it's a miracle, pure and simple. The real question from the Bible's point of view is not how did Jesus do it, but why did Jesus do it? It seems clear that Jesus did it because he came to bring abundant life. And for those 5,000 people out in the middle of nowhere, abundant life came to them in a very concrete way. They were given food to eat. Their bodies were nourished. Their hunger was satisfied. They ate and they were filled. Keep in mind that most of these people were peasants. Keep in mind that most of these people rarely had enough food to take their pangs of hunger away. These were the poor of the land. These were the people who struggled each day to find daily bread. Jesus fed them, and they were filled. That was a feeling that they all too rarely experienced. Jesus gave them all they needed and more. The abundant life Jesus was giving them addressed their most basic physical needs. Jesus was not about to do what the Apostle James later warned Christians about doing, which was saying to a hungry person, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," and then doing nothing about it. There are times when you have to go beyond kind thoughts and best wishes and actually do something to help the other person. Walter Brueggemann says, when you are with Jesus, you are inescapably in the bread business. You need bread to share because it is the work of Jesus to feed hungry people and express compassion concretely. But the disciples protested. They said, we don't have enough to go around. But with God, of course, there was enough. With God, there is always enough. With God, there is always an abundance. It's that fear that there isn't enough that keeps people from sharing, from giving, from being generous, from being compassionate. They hoard for themselves because they worry that they will run out. But this is not the way God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live with trust in his abundance. Whatever we may have, there's always enough for us to share. Jesus shows compassion for the 5,000 by giving them food for their bodies. He's demonstrating that God really does care about people's physical needs. He's showing that God is very aware of the hunger pangs that afflict them. And he's showing that when God's kingdom comes to earth in its fully completed form, no one will ever be hungry again. All will be filled. But Jesus is not saying abundant life is only about getting food for the body. We know that Because the story Mark tells us points toward something more. The story contains some very important signs that point beyond the immediate physical need to the full dimensions of this abundant life that Jesus offers us. The first of these signs is in that reference to Jesus looking at the people and seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. He will be their shepherd. He will lead them into green pastures. But he won't just be doing that by giving them food to eat. He will do that by teaching them many things. Jesus knows that they don't just have hunger in their stomachs. They also have a deeper hunger, a hunger in their hearts. They have a hunger to know the truth about God, the truth that God is a God of love who comes to search them out and bring them home. Their hearts have been yearning to hear this truth. They have been longing to know that God loves them and cares for them and knows each of them by name. Jesus is meeting their need by teaching them this truth. And of course, Jesus is doing more than just giving them an idea. He's not just telling them about God's love. He is giving them God's love. He's giving them God's love by sharing himself with them. We can see that if we look closely at the words Mark uses to describe what Jesus does when the disciples bring the loaves and the fish to him. Mark says Jesus gives thanks, breaks the loaves, and then gives them to his disciples to set before the people. If those words sound familiar, that's because it's almost identical to what Mark says Jesus did at the Last Supper, in the hours just before he was arrested. On that night, Mark says, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And then Jesus said, "Take it. This is my body." At the Last Supper, Jesus was saying that he was about to offer his body as a sacrifice on the cross. He was about to give of himself so fully, so completely, that it would win salvation for everyone who put their trust in him. He did this out of compassion. He did this because he was moved by divine love. He did this because what he had, an unbreakable relationship with God the Father, was something he wanted to share. He wanted to share it with us. Already in the middle of that crowd on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was looking ahead to what was going to happen on the cross. As he saw these people who looked like sheep without a shepherd, he saw people for whom he had compassion. He saw people for whom he was willing to give himself. He saw people for whom he was willing to die. When he received those 5 loaves and 2 fish from the disciples, Jesus turned it into an act of communion. In that moment, he didn't come right out and say it. But when he broke that bread and gave it to his disciples, it was as if he were saying, "Take it. This is my body." In this act of feeding, Jesus was pointing towards what he was going to do on the hill called Golgotha. He wasn't just giving the people something to eat for that day. He was pointing towards the abundant life they would have forever because of his sacrifice on the cross. This abundant life would be rich beyond measure, far exceeding anything they had ever known. The abundant life Jesus gives us is something much more valuable than anything money can buy. The abundant life Jesus gives us is life lived in God's love. This is life in which all our heart hungers are fully met. This is life in which all our deepest needs are fully satisfied. God's love is what will make us completely filled. When God's love is poured out on us, it never runs out. It never falls short of what we need. Jesus has shown us that when it comes to God's love, there is an infinite abundance. There is absolutely no end to it. There is always more than enough. Let us pray. O God, your love for us is infinite and unstoppable. We thank you for your overflowing generosity. We thank you that through Christ you give us the abundant life we long for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.